A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah, for anybody, for our international viewers, we are still in lockdown. Ben is still recording in a car. We are recording across Zoom with a latency that is almost imperceptible.
Are we ready to play some Dungeons and Dragons?
Ooh. Yes,
yes, we are.
Friendship is forever. Friendship never ends. It doesn't matter what time you're in, you're still a dragon friend.
Years ago, the cult of the Frisomites was formed in secrecy, dedicated to the capricious and contradictory testament of the one they call Friso the First. That cult today is racked by an almost instantaneously explosive schism, and as the dragon friends race out of the Frisomite temple, it seems the cultists within are by now too busy fighting each other to stop your escape. The vast central hall of the temple is empty by the time you reach the ground floor, although the noise of Cardinal stabbing Cardinal echoes out even here. With you are two new companions, Lion Shield Banknote, of course, and his educational attaché from the Academy of Approved Sciences, one Edward Piss, historian. And thank you, Ben, as always, for an invaluable addition to Dragon Friends world building.
You're welcome. I have not checked the wiki lately, but I have not seen an entry for Edward Piss. Disappointing.
Feels like if you're listening to this and you know, run the wiki, would be very... Seems a bit rude that you haven't done that, to
yeah,
be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
The doors are closed but barred on your side, and you're beginning to smell the now familiar smells of a church burning to the ground as you race towards them.
What does it smell like?
Sin, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know, Al, but the dragon friends definitely know it. They're like, oh, yeah.
Frankincense and murder.
Only as you arrive at the gates, you were just there in time to see them splinter and crash as three figures burst through the other side with one other figure following quickly behind them. That's right, four figures, absolutely four figures. First draft of a spiel is fine. Three half-orcs and a human dressed in cream and orange outfits of hide and sackcloth, each wearing a leather cuirass emblazoned with the image of a big rock. Edward Piss looks up delighted. It seems your friends have found you after all. Edward Piss looks up excited as the four of them look, and as Edward Piss begins to speak, the largest of them, a sort of grim-looking half-orc, cuts the air with his hand and points at Banknote and Edward Piss and looks to his companion for confirmation, who nods his head, and then he beckons for the four of you to come with him with another finger pointed to his lips, trying to slip you out of the temple.
This guy wants us to look at his nose. Nice nose!
If you could just keep it quiet, all right? I don't know how much time we have. There's obviously something going on here, but we've been sent to... It's Mr. Banknote, is it?
Yes, my name is Mr. Banknote.
Right, you're coming with us. The big crag wants to speak to you.
Well, can all my friends come as well?
Did you say your bat friends?
No, I said, can I... What? No, I didn't bat say friends? All my bat friends.
They don't look like bats to me. What is it, a
That's
halfling?
That's not what I said. I didn't say bat friends. A halfling? Why would I say bat friends?
A human? Some kind of piss man?
Hello!
I didn't say bat... I don't... Why... I said, can all of my friends...
Yeah, fine, your bad friends can come.
Play the tape back.
Your bad
if
friends can come.
This,
that's
go
fine.
Go back 30 seconds and see if there's any way that you could have thought that I said bad friends.
We don't have time.
Anyone could have heard bad friends.
We're moving on. We don't have time or the technology. Yes, your bad friends can come, but we must leave immediately.
Let's go.
All
right.
And as they go, Baston kind of creeps up to the leader and says, I'm starting to talk like Banknote. Oh no. I actually have quite an important appointment to get to. So if we could swing via the Temple of Love and Sadness, or where are we? Where are we still underground?
So as you're saying this figure who is a large, proud-looking half-orc, whose name I believe is Targ, who has two other half-orcs and the other human with him. The four of them are what's called a Filgite rock formation, and they're basically sort of commandos for the church. They are leading you through the Vulfen tunnels. that led into the Temple of Cutthroats and Bakers. And he said, and he's listening to you, sort of, but in a way that suggests that he's kind of humouring you more than engaging. And he looks at you and he says, I don't know about any of this. I don't know about this temple or a sermon. All I know is that there was meant to be a meeting between your friend and my boss. And your friend never showed up. Now, we tracked him here. It seems like he was a guest of the Freezer Mites, but now he's going to make his appointment.
All right.
But if you want to, if you want to go to this sermon.
No, I honestly don't know where I am. I'm in tunnels here, and I'm quite disoriented. So I suppose I'm at your mercy, as they say.
It is about. I will say that it is probably about an hour, like half an hour from sunset. So it is close to the time that you said that you were going to.
Okay, but I can maybe I can make it. Oh boy, it's gonna be a race. Here we go.
And if you remember, to Baston. So Baston. You figure out what you're going to say?
Yeah, absolutely, I've got it. The speech that is in my mind is just red hot. It's going to be so inspiring.
Give us a little flavor, because me think... Oh,
I'm just going to stand up there and be like, love.
Okay.
Sadness. And just go back and forth and just vibe it out. Oh, what do you think?
Yeah, this sounds like you unprepared for this, man.
I've got a half an hour. Shut the fuck up, all right? I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be super inspiring. They love me. Okay. They love me.
Okay, while you're having this little conversation, Targ indicates with curt hand gestures to his friends who fall silent, and then he pulls from under his cuirass a small pouch of about the size of a baseball that he's wearing around his neck, and he empties it into his hand to reveal fresh soil. That kind of smells like rain. And as he takes that, he works it in his hands until it forms a sort of mud compound, and then walks between you to the walls of the tunnels that you're in and smears it in a long, muddy streak across the walls of the tunnel, which sits there on the loam, sort of like a muddy patch of wall. He whispers something under his breath and then takes his hand and plunges it through the wall and continues walking forward until he disappears through the muddy sinkhole in the wall. And a second later, his companions follow. One of them, as they do, grabs quite violently Banknote by the shoulder, not in an entirely hostile way, but in a way that suggests he's coming with him, and Banknote is sucked through as well. And after a moment, looking uncertain, Edward Piss follows.
I'm gonna walk through the mud.
Okay.
Wet mud wall.
Is everybody going through the wet mud wall? Yeah.
Bobby says meep meep and runs through.
Okay. You shouldn't walk through the mud wall with your mouth open, but like do it your
meep,
way.
Meep. So at the end of the short loops of the
room. All right, that's important. So as you all make your way in, you burst through to the other side of the sinkhole and find yourself in a very, very wet cavern, a sort of tunnel that looks strange and almost impossible. Like the walls of it are too slick to hold itself up, and there's something kind of organic about it, but everywhere is just this same muddy loam with tunnels, small tributary tunnels peeling off in all directions, and it stretches out as far as you can see. The rest of the Philgites standing there as Targ looks at you and he goes, you understand you're probably some of the first non-Philgites not inducted in our ways to see the stone ways. Stay close, stay with me, and there's no danger here.
Do you know, I actually wrote my my undergrad thesis on the Stoneways. So this is
okay.
Very...
So you're an expert on the Stoneways. I was just raised and born as a Philgite my entire life, but no, tell me about my heritage.
Oh, well, okay. They're a wonderful set of tunnels. Many people say they don't exist. So, I did write my thesis on how they don't exist, so...
frantically scrabbling through his notes.
Much of... this is very illuminating and also academically devastating for me. Yep, there they are. Right there.
When the mother of our religion came to Netheril 1,000 years ago, she told us the secrets of the rocks, and we have found the way that they communicate with each other, and we can use these stoneways to pass between the rocks to the places that they touch our world. I'm taking you now to see our great Clag. She has much she wishes to discuss with you, Mr. Banknote.
Freezer steps forward and is like, hey, do you guys ever, like, use the rocks to make, like, a skateboard ramp or anything?
What?
Like a skateboard ramp or, a mudslide or something? You ever do something fun with the rocks?
Well, this is kind of, like, as I said, this is largely a holy place. When you're in, sort of at a certain age, you are in
dumb. You know, look, I have some experience in running a religion, and I just think one of the problems with them is not enough fun.
Talk me through the experience you have running a religion, Hing.
I was a god.
For how long?
I don't know.
And where's your religion now?
6 weeks? Right now, that my religion's tearing itself apart in order to find someone suitable enough to try and kill their god. Dave, I don't think this is as complicated as you think it is.
One of the other half-orgs near Targ kind of looks a little bit sheepish and, like, kind of sidles up to. He's like, man, we do that all the time. Skateboard ramps, fun jumps, mudslides. Yeah, man, it's the best.
I thought it would be cool.
This is Krem, who's a slightly friendlier-looking version of Targ, not quite so straight and narrow.
Don't tell Targ, though. He got huge stick-up butt.
Yeah. Hey, Krem, what do you reckon is wrong with Targ?
Oh, I don't know.
Firstly, that ancient war wound, and stop telling outsiders.
Yeah, he got stick-put right up there. He said war, but he was trying to build table. We very good with rocks, not so good with carpentry.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest, dude. I feel like your energy that I'm getting from you right now, uh-huh. I'm feeling like your energy is the energy that, like, this squadron of orc of Hilljat commandos. I feel like you would be a better leader than Targ.
Oh man, it takes all types. I'm pretty chill.
Yeah, I don't know if you've necessarily found somebody with the ambition to take over the rock formation, but Krem is a very, very seasoned and helpful deputy. Now, at this point, Targ has picked, it seems, a bunch of tunnels at random and is walking you deeper and deeper through the stoneways, though it feels like he knows what he's doing, and eventually the tunnel tapers out into a dead end with the gloopy muck of the walls converging into just another sort of torpid sinkhole of mud. And he looks and points and he says, this is, takes his hand and touches it, tastes it, and goes, this is the one. Bat friends, you go through first.
Wait, not our name again. Wait, more dragon. It doesn't matter. All right, let's go. Right. Frieza goes through first and followed by Bangtan.
Okay, as soon as you go through Frieza, your ears instantly and quite painfully pop. And
owie, owie, owie.
You catch yourself as you realize that you are high, high up on the Balinox now, about two-thirds of the way up the side of the mountain in a kind of perched cliff-top sort of little just outcropping of rock and shale, and you have walked through just a cliff face behind you that has more of this mud painted on it that even now is beginning to dry and fade away as your friends walk through it. And on the other side, you can see about 10 to 12 large semi-permanent yurt-like tent structures, all of them with smoke coming out the tops of them, constructed out of what looks like giant bones and stretched out pieces of hide with very strong foundations between them. And in the center of these yurts is a very, very large, very heavy-looking rock that is sitting there just forming the complete centerpiece of this little village or whatever it is, and standing in front of that rock with a expression of kind of amused friendliness is a very large half-orc, 8 feet tall, with red hair tied in 3 braids at her back, and a large stone maul, and a beautiful brocaded dress of hide with plates of armor and shells. And this is the Great Crag.
Can I call everyone aside? Have we walked through onto the cliff?
Yeah. Targ and the others haven't actually entered. It's just you guys so far. And the Great Crag is at a distance, almost like she's waiting for you to approach, so you've got time.
So I go, Dragos. What the play here? We reveal ourselves to these guys. It'd not work out good for Friezo. Everyone try kill. What do you think we do here?
I think it worked out pretty well for Baston, though, didn't it, Baston?
I bloody well hope so. If I get back in time for my big moment
The church bells of the basilica begin to ring downstairs, suggesting that it is the call for prayer.
Fuck-a-doodle. Can we see the city from here, like the big floating prism and stuff?
The city of New Islandar is built in the rain shadow of the Balinox, and it creeps up slightly up the side of it. You can now see, for the first time, the landscape of the Sword Coast beneath you, and it is upsetting. The city of Islandar is quite small, which is surprising given how urban it looked, and it's surrounded by very tall, fortified walls. Beyond that, there are wicked-looking storm clouds that seem to sort of crawl over blasted and scorched earth. The entire of the landscape of the countryside used to be very beautiful around Barovia and around the Sword Coast now looks blasted, ruined, and dead. You can see that the sea far to the west looks torporous, sludge-like, and toxic, and there's a foul smell coming from the storms and the sea. And far to the south, you can see what looks like another city that seems to glitter with kind of a malevolent crystalline energy as the sun and the light of the storm clouds catch on it and it sparks at the distance.
Look, isn't Banknote has an appointment with the Great Crag. So maybe if we just chill in, go in, we pretend to be retinue, you know, we get in. We get out. Yeah, that's my plan. How do we feel about that? Just let Banknote lead? What do we think?
Yeah. Okay.
Sounds good.
At that moment, the next figures of the Philgites, Banknote and Edward Piss, come out. Banknote and Edward held between them as Targ walks forward and slaps his fist twice against his chest and roars out before addressing the crag with an open hand and says, "Me Targ, me travel Stoneway's great way, as I promised to do. Me find the one called Banknote and me bring to you the great crag, the mother, by the sight of the big rock. Me done my duty." And then he steps back and goes, "And also these the bat friends."
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Yes, my name is Elijah Banknote. I am a professor of sorts in forbidden chronomancy. This is my associate, Mr. Piss. You might recognize him from the storming of the Capitol where he got his penis out. you must be the Great Crag.
The things you're remembering, I always never fail to surprise me. Yes, that's right. Edward Piss, who got his penis out at the Capitol insurrection. And we don't have the time to go into what that means in the context of this fantasy world. They both step forward.
Well met, bat friends. Me great crag. Me recognize you, not just from Weird Weenie. Me recognize you from university. Yeah, that's why me call everybody to get you. You tell us that you can keep our peepers out for big, powerful rock. And, you know, me think, well, lots of rocks, big, powerful, but guess what? We found a real big and a real powerful one, so me come get you. Hey, bad friends!
Okay. Yes? Well, where is this powerful rock you've got there?
Oh, we don't have. It's like, elsewhere. Hey, bad friends, what's your deal? What do you do?
Well...
I said I'm a professor.
You professor...
You're not bad friends. I mean other four.
Edward Pierce gets his dick out at insurrection.
Yes, but those two aren't the bat friends. That's it. That's Banknote and Edward. Who are the rest of these?
Well, what do your scriptures say about great God returning in time of need?
Yeah, it say it may happen. It say it may not. I gotta be honest with you. We pretty chill here. But we got scriptures, big books that I can definitely read.
She points at an incredibly dusty pile of books just inside her yurt that have petrified, literally to stone.
But you know, we keep things pretty simple here. All our field, she our god now.
She our god always. She our god. Not sure why we say now.
Well, it's a thing that old Field used to say, apparently. Anyway, be nice, unless you get real cranky. Also, you can get real mad in retrospect and think of good reasons why. Oh, and we have these hats.
Oh, let me see them hats.
Yeah, they're pretty cool, and they're just hats.
What kind of hat?
It's like,
yeah, what kind of hat? Is it one type of hat, or are they like, no, it's just a hodgepodge of hats?
You're just like looking around, you notice that everybody's wearing a hat.
Yeah, I didn't mention this, but Targ has one of those beer helmets that like the rat boys wear. It's empty, but he's got it. The tube's just hanging limply by his side, and he looks and he says, "The one, Filge. She fought with her companions and defeated Strahd, one of the great evils, and saved Karsus the Controller. She also tells us that there be rock somewhere, and for many years our people toiled and searched until we found rock here. It was sign that Filge spoke the truth."
Oh yeah, Filge speak truth. Hey, I'm Filge. B-T-Way. Me Filge. Can I get one of them hats into me Filge?
And there's a silence while like the great crag's eyes kind of narrow, and she's like, "If you Filge, come here."
No.
What?
Filge not come. You just cause you tell me to.
What's the magic word?
What?
What's the magic word?
Please.
You just ask nicely is what I'm saying. If you want Filge to come over, like, we're all, you know.
Is this Bobby? Is this Bobby talking?
This is Bobby.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't say you come here. You speak nice. You say you chill.
You... Please, Filge, come here. I want to look at you.
Okay. Then I walk right up to her. Filge walks up.
She looks at you, takes two big, huge green hands and smushes your cheeks together as she pulls you face to face, although there's no... Like, you're exactly the same height. She could definitely be related to you in sort of some way, and she stares into your face.
Frieza just leans in to Filge and just says,
"Wait, but
hey, Filge, just so you know, I still got one spell slot if you want me to do anything, okay?"
Wink.
And then kind of backs off.
So in this quite intimate moment of these two people face to face, Frieza sidles up and whispers in your ear loudly enough, I would argue, for her to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Just that.
I'll just like slowly push Frieza's face away from my face without looking at him.
Fair enough.
And like she like lets go of your face and then stands upright and like looks around at everybody and says, "Hey, Oingo Boingo, everybody, that Filge! That Filge! She bad!"
Everywhere, all around the yurts, all of these little different half-orcs with a few humans, all of them wearing these same orange and cream cuirasses and sackcloth outfits, all stuck, some of them wearing Burger King cardboard hats, some of them wearing baseball caps, one of them's got a hat that's just an ad for Shrek 2, which makes no sense.
I also feel like the hat thing probably came in like 6 months ago, but they all thought it was like, it's forever. Like it was like an ancient thing, but they just got confused.
They all start walking up and they start gathering around as they all start murmuring and chanting Filge, 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 until they lift
everybody.
Filge. As they pick Filge up and then place her very gently so that she's sitting on a divot in the big rock, and then they all step back in a semicircle around her.
Filge!
Yes, Filge! Yeah, you guys got a nice place here. Yeah,
it'd be a shame if something happened to it, says Frieza.
Yeah, that my friend, don't worry about him.
Wait one sec. If you Filge, is that Frieza?
Yeah, Frieza, Bobby.
Hello.
Baston. It's the gang.
Hooly dooly, all gang here. Hats for all.
Then someone comes to the tray and brings you hats. It's Targ as he hands out hats. And he goes, I understand now. You called yourselves bat friends to conceal the truth. You're the dragon friends.
Dave, can we pick whatever hats we want?
No. I feel like I've gone down this road before. Everyone can pick what hat they want, but I get one veto for Hing's hat.
Machine gun
come
hat.
Come on, man.
All right, you get a machine gun hat. Eden?
I want Hing to have to wear a fedora.
All right, Hing wears a fedora. Alex?
The opposite of what I wanted.
Mm-hmm. I want one of those wizard hats from Disneyland with the two Mickey Mouse ears coming out.
Okay, great. Again, I don't know how, but they have a line on incredibly anachronistic hats, so you get that as well. Your machine gun hat is not functional,
no,
by the way.
I actually want a big cowboy hat.
Okay, it's a Texan. It's a 10-gallon hat, yeah, and it's got a machine gun through it, which you wear with a headband.
Machine gun thing was a joke. I just wanted a cowboy hat.
Well, sometimes you got to be careful about what you say. And Hing, what did you want?
He gets a fedora. That is what he is wearing.
Okay, but can I get a helm of the Mammoth Lord, Dave?
No, you get a fedora. Okay, so that's everybody's hat. And as they look around you and...
Okay, just so you guys know, the Helm of the Mammoth Lord, it's got tusks on it, and it lets you gore people with your tusks. And I think it would be really fun for Frieza to have that.
I'll take that, Dave.
Oh, you want that?
I'll take that.
Okay, Eden gets a Helm of the Mammoth Lord.
Yes. Nice. Very cool.
Very cool. All right, so now that everybody's got their hats, they sort of look at you. A hush sort of falls as all of the Filgites are looking at you, Filge, as you sit there up on the rock. As you very carefully put your hat on, and the clag just splits into like the biggest grin, and they all start smiling as they all look incredibly happy and pleased with themselves.
This is so nice.
Yeah, you did a good job here. You did this nice. Yeah. First of all, me, your god. And you know, you really took Idea Rocks and ran with it and made it your own, and full credit to all of you for that.
It means so much.
Yeah, and me like rocks, but you really make cool mud wall. Are they like portals?
Itagos, the stoneways. I suppose in a manner, this was your magic. We didn't get that wrong, right? You left this. We found it at the stone. You left this for us.
Yeah. Made a good job. Let's move on. You there. Half-orc with the flower pot hat.
Is that Cramp?
I'm just pointing to random people in the crowd.
Oh, okay, yeah, yes. Oh. Sure, Simon.
You people, this place look kind of crappy. You people happy here?
Crappy, happy. Two sides of same stone.
The controllers, they told us that if we were to practice our rituals, we had to do it outside the city. We are, exiled?
Oh. What kind of rituals you do?
We maintain the stone ways, keep them clean, keep them good. Sometimes we do mudslides.
Okay, so cool. It's really just rock stuff.
The Great Crags. The Great Crags, like, we do social softball. In fact, social softball make up a lot of your religion. By the way,
like you said,
you know, if that's your intention, but we're real big into that.
Okay, interesting that you worship rock but choose softball.
Yeah, there's
this against my teaching.
Oh no!
Rockball only from now on. You any good at fighting? You there, goblin in the hat that look like a different hat. What? It's a hat with a different hat painted on it.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yes, seamless.
It's a bowler hat with a blossom hat on it.
Yeah. You any good at fighting?
Oh, we good at fighting? We good at fighting? Is a Baston a virgin?
Oh, I still am.
Yeah, we good at fighting. Fighting a big part of your religion. We keep ourselves real nice.
That said, as I've said, they all do look real nice, as Ben said, which I find gross for some reason. But they all do look very fit. Huh. As I said, there's only about 15 of these yurts, so they are quite small in numbers. It seems that however big this religion ever got, and maybe it's possible it never got very big, there's not that many adherents now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Why you no fight the controller? This is the Filge way. This bad, make good. Don't think too much.
Yeah, me know, and Crag looks a little bit ashamed. Great Filge, it kind of complicated. Targ?
The controller, you see the Great Pyramid in the sky, yeah? You see Never?
And he points out to the huge sort of floating ziggurat that's been floating over the city since you came here.
Mm-hmm.
Cassus, the controller since the Great War with Carcosa, control all. Slowly but surely, take over city, take over all cities on coast, take over all cities on world. But we have plan to stop him even now. And he points at Banknote and says, that's why you tell us keep eye out for big rocks and look.
Yes.
As with that, he pulls out a big piece of cured leather hide with a chalk sketch on it. And he says, what do you think of this? And he passes it over to you. And you can see that it is the unmistakable shape of a Netherese lodestone.
Well, this is a lodestone. I've read about these before, but I've never seen one before with my very own two eyes. And I guess now I'm also not seeing one with my very own two eyes. It's just a drawing, isn't it? Yep. Good to know. Good to know.
That's very strange way to say simple concept. But this drawing represents signifier attached to this sign. That right, Targ to first sociology. I find this lodestone out there, and he points to the south, and he goes, far from here, through stoneways, in Blade Yard.
Blade Yard.
Oh, man, let me Blade fill you Yard. In on Blade Yard. Blade Yard the pits. we don't like go to Blade Yard. We much prefer play softball, guess hardball now. Ugh.
Have to change T-shirts.
Yeah, thanks a lot, God. No, it's fine. It's kind of my big legacy.
Okay, guys, Dragon Huddle.
Yes?
Come in, all right. Okay, so, lodestone. Getting back to the past, where I assume we want to go? Maybe. I don't know. But what is on my mind now is talking to my people, inspiring my people. And look, we're not going to just leave this world this way. Look at the world that, as it is, my beautiful Balinox, despoiled by the befouling hand of Cassus and the Trollers. This is good stuff I could be using in front of my people, okay? This is wasted,
well,
all right?
Well, if you did go somewhere, why not go somewhere? Just walk through mud, go stoneways.
Excuse me?
Where are you trying to go?
To the Temple of Love and Sadness. I have a rather important.
Targ looks at Clag and she shrugs. She's still quite obviously irritated about the softball thing. And he pulls out more soil and he sort of wipes it on the wall next to him as it turns into mud. And you go, two lefts, then right. That big fancy building in city, yes, Basilica?
Yes, absolutely.
Two lefts, then
and
right.
And you, great Crag, should come with us.
Me?
For today is a uniting of the four schools of religion of this land into one way.
That right, the dragon way.
Bobby like climbs up the front of like Baston's shirt and just like slaps him in the face.
Ow! Oh, thank you. I assume.
Good God,
what was that for?
What are you doing?
What
do you mean? What am I doing?
First of all, you're gonna get in there.
I'm uniting the people.
And you're going to clam up like the proverbial clam. You're not going to say
you don't know
thing.
That.
Yeah.
You don't have this at all. This is
yeah,
what are you talking about?
Clam.
You are
we
not helping my
confidence.
We all
know the proverb about the clam, everybody. But Bobby, just tell us the proverb about the clam that we've all know about.
The proverb of the clam is the clam stays clam shut. The mouth doesn't talk. The words don't come out. It's not going to work. Second of all, if you don't want this stupid land to ever exist, then all we have to do is get to the lodestone and get out of here.
Look, I think
Clag
no, I don't...
looks at you and goes, you not want me to to exist?
No, Craig.
The bad stuff, the pollution and the
We fix it, make better for you. Yeah. Know.
Wait. When you change world, what happened to me?
Oh.
I think I could add to this. As a person who's studied chronomancy, my understanding is that if they go back in time and they change the past, we continue to exist in our future, but they will create another branch of the timeline away from ours. We won't die, but they will be able to live a second truth in their own reality.
So if they destroy a world, or say make mad vampire take over it and enslave everybody and then don't fix it, but go forward in time, those people suffer forever?
I mean, unless they fix it themselves, sure.
Wait a second, are you saying we have to go back to every single timeline and fix it? There isn't one way to combine the timelines and just like move it? Wait, how theoretical is this? Do you,
Dave, do you want to do it? Do you want to do a time studies check?
I mean, no, your Banknote knows what he's talking about. Banknote, you're right, is an expert in archaeomancy.
Hello.
With a minor in chronomancy.
See, we can't just walk away from these people. I won't walk away from my people. The most beautiful and sad of all peoples.
Yeah,
but aren't we all beautiful and sad? We don't even know. You might have a cool fan club.
Well, I don't know because we haven't been there yet.
Okay.
Oh,
well,
so this is what this is about. Okay.
This is what this is about. Okay.
All right. We go to some more of your little people now? What about me? Me famous for me inspiring speeches. I feel like ways for me not to give good speech right now.
Well, as I said, the sinkhole.
Okay, I'll go for it. It's easy. Let me show you how to do it.
Okay, show me. Right, I want to see it.
Okay, everyone ready to be inspired?
Yeah.
All right, listen up. Craig, stop sulking. My people, I see you before me, a sea of hats. Just how me always dreamed. You strong and brave people. But you lose your fight. You lose your way. You not like rock, strong and hard and stand in way of bad. You like mud, slippy, sloppy, ooey gooey. You move this way, you move that way. Who care? Play softball. Nice braids though, Craig. But you must be like rock. You must not be mud no longer. And, like rock, is made of lots of little bits of different tiny rock come together called sedimentary rock.
Ooh.
So we must be the rock that bring together the other rock. We bring together the Friezo lava rock. We bring together Baston's nice sparkly rock. We bring together whatever Bobby's rock people are like.
Yeah, whatever.
Pebbles, let's say.
For example.
And under great amount of pressure, as you face this battle against the controller, you become one big rock, unstoppable, crushing all in your path. And finally, you roll as one. And then she straight away turns to Baston and goes, see?
with advantage. Two things. I'm going to give you a dice of inspiration for that, a pre-roll, because that was fantastic. With advantage, make for me a persuasion check.
Oh, that's a natural 20, my dear friend.
The great Crag gets to her feet and says, me understood the gist of that. We go with the bat friends. We go with them wherever they go. Bring my stuff.
As I said, she already has her warhammer, but another goblin wearing a hat inexplicably advertising, I believe, the 1998 film John Grisham's The Rainmaker, walks in with a backpack and a small picnic basket with a packed lunch, and hands both of them to the great Clag as she walks towards you, and she says, Stoneway's yours, bat friends. Wherever you want to go, you tell us and we draw the way through the mud.
So should we go collect all other religions? You want to pop into your little speech now, Baston?
Well, look, I made an appointment. I just feel like there's a lot of, you know, it's a lot. I should be there. You know, it's my church.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, will you get stage fright if all clags come?
No. It's going to be fine. I'm going to nail
clammy,
this.
Clammy,
don't
clammy,
tell. Why? Clammy, you're not clammy, helping clammy, me, clammy, Bobby. Clammy, clammy. You're being mean. I pick up Bobby. I throw him away.
Throw him away?
I hold onto his sleeve so he can't throw me away.
You're standing on a cliff two thirds up
the right, okay, let's get throw those dice out. See if Bobby kills.
I pick him up and try to throw him.
Best Don gets so embarrassed he kills Bobby.
No,
just yeets him off a cliff and that's that.
Beston picks up Bobby and throws him into the stoneway's mud as Bobby tumbles head over heels and Beston stalks after him. The rest of you follow, I assume.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Come on, Philgies.
I didn't mean to get so mad.
With the Philgites marching in step behind Crag and Filge. And as you see that, as you said, two rights and a left, walk plunging through the mud, it opens up on the side of a beautiful marble fountain with the mud already beginning to dry off it. And which is, as I said, the figure of resplendent of the great and first prophet Beston in Drirovich, spitting water with his hands held spread out like wings, that is in the central courtyard of the basilica. And you see the grand steps leading up to the basilica, and a crowd is gathered around them. The doors are shut, and there is a piece of paper you can see that has been nailed to the door.
What's it say on the paper?
Right, as you walk up, all of the bastinets that see you start to part, unsure, as you walk up and pull the paper from the doors. And it says, by the order of Karsus, he who controls all, the bastinet religion is hereby outlawed under penalty of refusing to pay their tithes. This is my word, and my word is law. And then there is a K emblazoned on a triangle. Standing beside you, looking very unsure, is Sixth Brother Bedford the monk.
What is the meaning of this? What?
We tried...
Where's the...
What? My lord, we did as you said. We stopped paying the tithes, but they came. And then the great Crag's like, you stopped paying tithe? What idiot told you to do that? Oh, you gotta pay tithe?
What, we exiled and we still pay tithes.
You?
Oh, man. We tried. We tried so hard to, as you say, take a chill pill. We begged of them as they slaughtered us to take a chill pill.
But they didn't take a chill pill. They wouldn't take a chill pill. They took Nine Sister Mysonia up to Never and they shut the gates of the Basilica for good.
Oh, what? There's not even like a 7-day grace period or anything? This is ridiculous. Shutting down my whole religion off one back payment? Well, so do I have no disciples anymore?
Well, as I said, there is a crowd that were trying to get to the evening sermon scattered around the steps. You're standing at the top of the steps with Sixth Brother Bedford holding the thesis that has been nailed to the doors.
So the doors... All right, I'm going to kick the doors open.
Okay, great. Make for me...
I've got a speech to give.
Make for me a little fly kick check. A little strength check.
Oh, shit, where are my dice? Okay, roll a little strength check. Yes, sick. Oh, yeah. 21.
Okay, there is a splintering crack as Beston's... And it's the sound of Beston snapping his leg forward and it hitting the timbers of the doors. There's a crack like a gunshot and they fall down on either side of him as he's silhouetted by the light shining through the stained glass windows at the far end of the cathedral. He turns around, his hair dazzling in the light, and beckons for his children, I assume, to come in with him as they file into the cathedral. Bedford is now beside himself as he's like...
This is just like when Martin Luther... fly kicked his
Sixth Brother Bedford is like, the controllers, they will have spies here. They will have seen this. They will have seen this. What they had done to us before, but they will visit 10 times upon our head now.
Let them come, for all the land will also hear of this, of the day the Philgites, the Frizomites, the Pancakians, and the Bastonets were united again against Karsus' despotic reign. For rocks, thieves, whatever Frizo stands for.
I was thieves.
You were thieves?
I was right. Thieves.
Whatever
yeah.
the pan. What are the Secrets. Pancakes? I haven't met the Pancakeans yet. What is it, Bobby? Secrets. Secrets. Love. Sadness. What is it?
Don't forget rocks.
Rocks. I said. Did I say rocks? We're did, all made.
Did you
of
say thieves? Because I was thieves.
Thieves. Yes.
As you're
thieves.
Saying this,
Bobby is secrets.
As you
secrets. Secrets.
Okay,
secrets.
As you give this incredibly profound and not at all confusing and meandering speech. Lo and behold, figures start to rise. The bastinets, as you address them, stand up in the pews at the back of the church. As you talk of the Philgites, they stand with their backs to the light, looking smiling and beatific in their collection of weird merchandising hats. Where, as you mentioned the God of Secrets and invoke his name, his agents, hidden as they are through all parts of New Ilanar, sling themselves down, an entire cascading line of invisibility cloaks dropping off shoulders as Pancakian agents in the rafters of the church look down at you with interest. Everybody looks around, waiting for the Frizomites to appear. There is no one.
Only Frieza.
Yeah?
We are all one. The way of the bastinets.
Sorry.
What? I'm kind of in the middle of something, but I will take a question. Yes, you.
Jeremiah Sneed, second shadow of the Reformed Pancakeans.
Yes.
You say everyone. Where are the Frizomites?
Frizo's right here.
Hi. Hello. Frizofferson, also known as Frieza the First. I have one remaining spell slot.
And then and then another person sort of creeps out of the darkness. Yeah, I have a question too. If you're here, then where are all your disciples?
Me? Are you talking to me? Was that for me?
Okay,
sorry, everyone.
You're kind of
when
shifting
you ask
the
questions,
focus away
if you
from
just
me.
Say who on the panel you're referring to,
oh, sorry.
That'll make things a lot easier.
I have a question
sorry,
for
so we'll
Frieza. Sorry.
Okay. This is a question for Frieza. Hello. Yes, sorry. Yeah.
We'll tell you what we do. We send magic sending stone down aisle of church. If you form line there, wait for sending stone, then say your question, and it has to be a question. It can't just be a comment.
And again, to any enforcers who are around who are helping us sort of delegate the questions and that, just remember, we're meant to be polite to everyone, but also if someone's going on, feel free to be forceful.
I see Frieza. I don't see any Frizomites. That's a question for that. Sorry, that is more of a statement.
Yeah, sorry. That's a bit of more of a comment than a question.
Okay, next, please. Next.
Yeah, does anyone have another question?
Without Frizomites, we still schismatic. We still three churches. If Frizomites ally with Karsus, then he will have enough power to take us over. Where are Frizomites?
Again, that did seem like more of a... Is the question where are the Frizomites? Because again, that you started off with more of a comment then, didn't you?
Where are Frizomites?
Me have questions, says the Great Crag.
Great Crag, who's the question for?
This for Baston.
Yes, Great Crag.
You. Me forgot to use toilet before we left. Is there toilet in church?
Yes, there. I don't know my way around specifically, but I'm sure that the little guy here who worships me can tell you.
Thank you.
Another little elf puts his hand up. And is like, I have a question for Baston as well.
Yes.
What was it like working with George Clooney? Was he like a prankster on set? Because, like, you hear a lot of these rumors, but I guess I just don't know.
Just the best, the nicest man I've ever really worked with. He took me into his trailer one time, and he just had so many of those cafe pods in there. As many as he wanted, he said. It was really cool. And then one time, we went water skiing at his house on Lake Como. Wow, really amazing. Next question.
Before the next question can be asked, you suddenly hear footsteps running up the steps leading up to the basilica as a young friar, handsome but very juvenile, bursts through the destroyed doors and says, Sixth Brother Bedford, the trawlers, they must have found out about this illicit sermon. They're gathering in the square. There must be hundreds of them.
And there are hundreds of us. We will face them this day and free this land from tyranny. Does everyone have weapons?
You look around. You look around, and it has to be said that beyond the Filgites, who are heavily armed, nobody really has weapons.
It would be so good if the speech from Braveheart ended. Does anybody have weapons?
Never take our freedom! Sorry, did everyone remember to bring their swords?
What did you think we were here to do? What did you think this was about? Do you think I like to get myself up like this on this horse?
All right, well, do we have one between two? Do we have one between two? Can we share?
Targ looks at you and says, "Stoneways will hold. We can escape through Stoneways. That wall look stone-bearing." And he points to sort of the wall behind the altar.
Bastinets, we ride tonight.
And by ride, we mean run away.
We mean... Yes, that is what we mean. But, look, grab anything that looks sharp and you might be able to use the weapon. Also, your best stuff. We want to look
ransack
good
temple? You're saying ransack temple? As one of them starts pulling, like, candelabras off the walls and tapestries and just gold.
Baston actually gets straight into that and starts ransacking as well. Let's do this!
All right, as the temple starts to be torn apart by ancient, you know, beautiful antique chairs splintered into clubs, etc., etc., the crowd begins to work together as you see the bastinets working with the Pancakeans, working with the Filgites, as Targ looks at Filge uneasily and say, "This okay, big chief? Commandments say only Filgites in Stoneways. These outsiders."
"Yeah, your commandments say play softball too, so you don't worry about that."
"This give Targ much to think about," as he says, and he pulls out his little sack of soil again and starts to smear it. He looks at you one more time and says, "Just need know where we go."
"To House of Pancakes."
Okay, and with that, he looks at you, nods once, and starts to smear in earnest as an entire wall of the basilica turns into muddy goop, running down the side of the altar. And as first as Edward Piss, historian and his cultural associate, Line Shield Banknotes stream in, followed by the Filgite Rock Formation and the Great Crag, followed by a crowd streaming more and more and more of bastinets, side by side with Pancakeian, side by side with Filgite, side by side with Friezo Friezofferson, one spell slot remaining. A great union is formed on its way to the House of Pancakes, where it seems it will be time for a final showdown with the controller of New Ilanar and the enemies that he does not yet know he already has, that they called the Bat Friends. Thank you.
The Dragon Friends are Alex Lee, Eden Lacey, Simon Graner, and Michael Hing. Our Dungeon Master is Dave Harmon, with NPC voices provided by Ben Jenkins and live accompaniments by Tom Cardy. Shakira Khan is our producer. The podcast is edited, mixed, and mastered by me, Hugh Guest, and this episode was recorded from our homes in this upsettingly long return to the age of isolation. Until next time.
Friendship is forever. Friendship never ends. It doesn't matter what time you're in. You're still a dragon friend.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.